The following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the host and the guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
It's time for Real Estate Radio with Angela and Howard. Angela and Howard talk about what's new in real estate and answer your buying and selling questions. To participate in today's show, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. And now, here are Angela and Howard.
Good morning, everybody. It's Saturday, and it's Christine Kennedy here. Angela and Howard are taking a much-deserved well day off. So super excited that they let me be here and honor them, and hopefully you're going to add some value. We're not going to talk about mortgages today. We're going to talk about some different things. I think it's going to be really interesting for all the realtors and all the buyers and all the sellers, because today I have in the studio with me one of my favorite people in the planet. We've worked together for about 20 years. It's Wes Parker, and he's a local appraiser. So, hi, Wes. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Very well. Glad to be here.
Thanks for being here. So, for everybody, Wes has been in the industry. How long have you been in the industry?
19 years.
Yeah, that's what I was going to guess, is 20.
I started when I was 10.
So he's been in the industry, we'll just round up to 20 years. He really knows what he's doing. So tell everybody, it's a real estate radio show. So tell everybody a little bit about yourself. Where are you from? What do you do? You know, all that kind of great stuff.
Well, I've been in Florida since I was about fifth or sixth grade in Orlando. Grew up out of Orlando. Went to Flagler College. Fell in love with this Northeast Florida area for obvious reasons. And then ended up moving here. I went to Dallas after school. Came back here with the IT company, and we sold it after some time. I loved real estate. Ended up going into the real estate appraisal business, and have been doing that now for 19 years, which seems crazy.
Isn't it crazy?
About 10 years. Covering Clay County, Duval County, St. Johns County.
Yeah, that's what I love about you, is that you are local, yeah. Right? And we're going to talk about that. Today, guys, we're going to talk about a lot of different things. We're going to talk about what do appraisers look at. We're going to talk about AMCs. We're going to talk about what the realtors can do to help you, to help an appraiser, what they legally can do, what they cannot do. We're going to talk about, you know, sellers, maybe what upgrades, you know, they should do and what they shouldn't do, what you would look at from an appraiser point of view. We're going to talk about what we do, what the realtors can do, what the mortgage people can do if there is a low appraisal or if there is a problem. So we're going to talk about a bunch of different covers. I think everybody's going to really enjoy it. But one of the main things that I love about Wes is that he does classes for real estate agents. So tell the listeners a little bit about what you do. So with teaching, so that they'll know what we're going to talk about today.
It's mainly when they have the sales, monthly sales meetings, mm-hmm. I get invited to those to go over kind of the updates more or less on appraisals, mm-hmm. since that changes somewhat frequently depending on the market conditions and so forth. But go through and help realtors rather to understand how to do better adjustments, pick comparables, what comparables to pick, what not to pick, mm-hmm. Just the details needed to get a more accurate value when they list a house, so we avoid those.
And we're going to talk about all that today, right?
Yes, yeah, avoid all those terrible things like coming in low on value, etc.
All the train wrecks that can happen from, right. You know, just the when we don't do the proper thing. So I'm excited to hear what you have to say today. I wanted to honor Howard, and he always talks about there's different days. So there's national days. So today is Bartender and Mixologist Day.
So, sounds like a good day to be out. Yeah,
it's a good day. It's Decide to Be Merry Day. So that's fun. Global Smurfs Day. Do you remember the Smurfs? Did you used to watch the like Smurfette and Papa Smurf? And
yeah. They must have made quite an impact. They have their own day now.
Industrial Workers of the World Day. Good for them. Great American Camp Out Day.
I like that.
Great American Picnic Day. Yeah, so we can go out and we can bartend. That's good. Ooh, this is interesting. Helen Keller Day.
Wow.
I know.
Very cool.
Ooh, this is good. Not that I eat ice cream. National Ice Cream Day. National Sunglass Day. And last one, National Orange Blossom Day.
Orange Blossom. Never heard of it.
So we can play bingo, eat ice cream, wear sunglasses, watch the Smurfs, decide to be married, and be a bartender.
Yeah, and picnic, be outdoors, weather permitting, I guess.
Oh, I forgot this last one. I wanted National Celebrate Your Marriage Day.
Ooh.
Yeah, so I'll take the decide to be married day, so you can tell my tray, and then you can celebrate your marriage day.
Absolutely.
tell everybody, how long have you been married?
It'll be 30 years in August.
Wow.
It's crazy. That time has flown. Especially kids growing up. That really has flown.
And you have three children?
Yeah, my youngest is 20, about to turn 21 in July next month. Son is 23 and daughter's 25.
Wow.
Yeah, it seems like it was just yesterday they were running around like they do at that age.
All right, so what should we start with? Let's talk about the main reason that local appraisals versus national appraisers. When somebody goes to a big bank, right, like a national company, they're going to get a national appraiser versus when they go to a local company, like a Success Mortgage Partner, somebody that I work for, they're going to get a local appraiser. So one of the things, I don't know if you guys know this, but I have an appraisal panel. So part of the, with an appraisal process is that the mortgage company cannot choose an appraiser. The realtor cannot choose an appraiser. The seller cannot choose an appraiser, and neither can the buyer. It's a rotation basis. So what we do is we set up appraisal panels. So I have four people on my appraisal panel. So when I get a new loan in and we hit order appraisal, it's going to go to one of four people. I know all of those four people. Obviously, you're one of them. But the main thing is that all of the four people that it's going to possibly be ordered from, all of them are local, all of them are here, all of them know St. John's, Clay County, Duval County. They know the different neighborhoods. They know the mixes, right? They know the difference in the beaches, right? Right. Neptune Beach is much different than, you know, Ponte Vedra, much different than Volano. But what can you tell everybody, teach everybody about maybe like national panels versus local panels? What can we teach everybody?
Well, one of the biggest things, like in your example, where you can pick a group and have say-so mm-hmm. in who your appraisers are, that's very important because you know what qualifications those appraisers have and so forth.
Yeah, I got to interview all of them and say, why do you want to be on my panel and what have you done?
Right.
And, you know, got to interview every single one of them.
Right.
You know, and how many appraisers do you think are in Jacksonville? Probably a couple hundred.
Yeah. It's, you know, there's not as many appraisers out there, obviously, as there is realtors. Mm-hmm. But it's a little bit of a scarce market to some degree right now because there's some turnover going with some people retiring out mm-hmm. that have been around for a while. And a little more difficult getting some new appraisers in because of the requirements. They went up to a 4-year degree. It was a 2-year. It was no degree. Then it was 2-year, and then they came up with a 4-year, and I think they're going to release that soon because it's kind of hurt the amount of entries we have in the market in the business.
That'll be interesting. So when we come back, we will talk about maybe the qualifications for an appraiser. That would be fun for the realtors to learn.
Sure.
We'll talk about the qualifications on what you even need to have when you, and then we'll talk about the AMCs. We'll teach realtors, and then we'll also talk about, you know, what the realtors can do, how they can pull comparables like you do so that they're similar. So you guys, if you have any questions, give us a call, 222-TALK, and make sure that you come back and we're going to talk more with Wes and more about what the realtors can do and not do to help everybody have the best experience through the mortgage process. Talk to you soon, guys.
Good morning, WBOB listeners. It's your realtor on the radio, Howard Vergalis of Watson Realty Corp. Angela and I want to thank you for tuning in with us. It's been such a great pleasure to be on the radio with you, giving you advice on buying and selling, as well as answering your questions on the air. Thank you so much for the trust that you have in us as professional, experienced realtors with over 20 years of combined experience. We want you to know that when it's time to sell your home, we want to be your realtor. We will focus on your home, your family, and your time frame. Our team will customize a marketing plan to give you the best exposure to get you the best price and have the best selling experience possible. Whether it's a condo or a house, a short sale or a regular sale, a $200,000 home or a mansion, you will get the same great service. Call us at 421-7950 and join the multitudes of others that have experienced the Angela and Howard team advantage.
Are you buying a property being sold by HUD? As a buyer, you can select Watson Title Services of North Florida as your settlement agent. Avoid having to deal with out-of-town companies. And make sure you get the world-class customer service of Watson Title Services that Angela and Howard have come to expect. Call them at 461-3220 when you're looking at buying a HUD property to ensure your purchase goes through as smoothly as possible. That's 461-3220. Angela and Howard do.
To my realtor listeners out there, do you have sellers that want to sell a condo? Do you have buyers that want to buy a condo? Have you been told that the condo is not financeable, not on the list, or required 25% down? Did you know that there's a 3% down conventional financing for condos that are not on the list? Call Christine Kennedy at 904-514-6969. To see how you can get your condo financed for as little as 3% down.
Angela Walker and Howard Vergalis of Watson Realty Corp. not only come to you every Saturday morning, but they would also like to work with you when you need them the most. That is, when you need to buy or sell a home. They pride themselves in giving you their very best effort every day and in every way. There are many realtors in the First Coast to choose from. Let them show you the Howard and Angela team advantage. Call them at 421-7950 or email them at realestateradio@yahoo.com. This segment sponsored by Christine Kennedy of Success Mortgage Partners.
Good morning, everybody, and happy Saturday. Thanks for listening to Real Estate Radio. Normally, Angela and Howard would be here, but today it's Christine Kennedy with Success Mortgage. If you guys have any questions for us, give me a call at 222-8255. My guest today is my favorite appraiser in the planet, been in the industry 20 years, Wes Parker. Thanks, Wes, for coming in and hanging out with me and joining me.
Thank you for the invite.
So what I thought, we'll finish up our conversation. What's the shortlist requirement? Somebody wants to be an appraiser. They want to do that. What do you have to have to say, I want to do appraisals?
Well, there's two courses. There's a what they call AB1 and AB2 that are basically pre-qualification type courses that take the appraiser through the classroom time that's required, learning process. And then once you complete that, you're not certified until you do 2 years of an apprenticeship with another experienced appraiser. They have in the past, just recently, and I'm not, should be probably more caught up on this, but I will be, I guess, when I do my continuing ed here shortly.
How many continuing education hours do you have to do each year?
It is now 60.
A year?
Yeah, per year.
Wow.
No, every other year. I'm sorry.
Every other year.
Do it every, yeah. We
mine's 8.
Is it really? I love it. I wish mine was. And then once you go through that 2 year apprenticeship with the experienced appraiser to get the hands on, because there's so many things that you really can't really do in class and learn in class, then you get the opportunity to take another class to get the final certification to operate on your own however you want to do so.
A lot of the realtors are the same way. You know, you can be a realtor for so long and then you can take the broker's license. And so it's kind of the same way. Sure. What's scary to me on the mortgage side when in reference to appraisals is that sometimes I'll hear the nightmare stories, not through me and not through my branch, because obviously, again, I only have 4 appraisers and they're all local. But you'll hear stories because all my friends are realtors, and you'll hear say, the appraiser was, out of Daytona. They were out of West Palm. They appraised it, $5,000, $10,000, $50,000 less. They didn't give them any kind of credit for the various neighborhood or the different things. And what I thought we could talk about and teach everybody listening is how that happens, how an appraiser can literally be from an hour and a half away, maybe come up, maybe not see the property, maybe just do a drive-by, maybe not even, and then they just slap a number on, and then, you know, the whole train wreck. You know, the sellers are upset, the buyers are upset, the realtors are upset because it's nowhere even close. So I thought, how does an appraiser just get assigned to it when they're not local? If you do choose a big bank, like a Quicken or a Rocket Mortgage or one of those big national companies, what can happen with a national appraisal company?
Well, due to the fact they're a national company and they are not necessarily involved with the local community as much, mm-hmm. And of course, they're profit driven. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the biggest things about AMCs. And AMCs, just so we quickly brief, AMCs are a intermediary or a in between for the lender and the mortgage broker and the appraiser, so that we don't have any kind of influence.
So we're legally not supposed to have any contact. To teach all of our listeners, we're not legally supposed to have any contact. The mortgage company is not allowed to directly talk to the appraiser in any form.
Well, the employee that is being compensated based on percentage, whatever that mm-hmm. kind of thing is, you mm-hmm. know, the outcome, where, you know, the processors and so forth, and they can. And then if we have additional information we need to get from somebody else, we can, all, you know, obviously request that. But
can you talk to the realtor? What can the realtor say to you or not say to you and give you and not give you?
Yeah,
any guidelines on that?
Yeah, we want to talk to them as much as possible in terms of what the house, you know, because they know more about the house typically than we would. And that's what our job is to educate ourselves on the house, you mm-hmm. know, and understand all the details, the upgrades, you know, all the pieces that they obviously go through. But that's the biggest kind of where it ends. You know, we're not supposed to talk value. We're not to, can't give them what we think the house is going to appraise at, whether it even does appraise for that mm-hmm. matter. And then if there is anything like a shortage on value or something, you know, a problem of that nature, then they have to go back through the mortgage company to address it versus going directly back to the appraiser. Mm-hmm. So let's say there's a they want to have a reconsideration request mm-hmm. on a value, then they would submit what in 99% of the cases is additional comparables. Because unless there's just something wrong with the appraisal itself, then it would, you know, be based on just what comparables were used.
So let's back up to teach people a comparable, what you do when you get assigned an order and you get assigned an order for 123 ABC Street. Walk us through what you do and then take us to what you would like our realtors to do. You know, do you want them, what do you do first? Like what is your initial, what are things that you're looking out for?
Well, we pull the property up. Hopefully they're on MLS. That's the easiest way to get information, photos mm-hmm. and so forth, the most detailed information about it. Then once we pull the contract, if it's a sale, since we're dealing with realtors in this case, it's
so
a sale.
So to teach everybody, when I order the appraisal, I order it through a company. They assign the appraiser, and then they do absolutely 100% give a copy of the contract as well as the MLS to the appraiser. So anything that's listed on the contract, the appraiser always sees. They always 100% have a copy of that.
Correct. And then a lot of realtors or buyers or sellers, for that matter, will ask, why do they need to have the sales contract price?
Mm-hmm. Or right. Sales contract? Why are you going to tell them, Christine, that I'm buying it for $500,000? Right. Why do you have to tell them? Why can't they just, you know,
pull it out, you know, and figure it out? But that contract has a lot of components to it that we have to look at, you know, mm-hmm. conditions and so forth. And so it's just a legal part that we have to address. And a lot of times you'll see people a lot of times will ask, how does the final value come up? And
why did the final so value come up at $500,000 when that's right. exactly what I'm buying for?
Right. Right. And that is usually, you know, unless it's just a very obvious difference, higher or lower, that's, you know, out of the spectrum, The reason it kind of gets close or just above typically the sales price is there are variables that you have to be careful how you address, I guess, is the best way to state mm-hmm. that. And if you come in much higher and justify that for whatever reason the appraiser's justifying that for, there's a lot of additional information you need to put into the report to identify that extra value, because and a lot of times that's based on days on market, because we look at so many factors, you know, the days on the market. If it was on the market for a day, mm-hmm. it's got multiple offers and so forth,
which is kind of where we're at right now.
Yeah So, you know, there's things that we go, and if it's been on the market extended over what the typical marketing times are, which we have that on the report, what mm-hmm. the typical marketing times are. So let's say the typical marketing times are up to 90 days and the property's been on the market for 180 days. There's a problem.
There's a problem.
Yeah. And typically there's a problem, unless it's a really high-end multi-million dollar property or, you know.
That they usually are.
Right. Farm property, something that's very mm-hmm. unique. So there's an address, you know, we have to address that as well, unless it, you know, sold considerably below what the list price was. So those are the things that we're looking at before we even talk to the realtor in most cases, just to kind of get an idea of what the market and the house and, you know, property has been on the market for.
So you pull a copy of the MLS, you look at the days on the market, because that matters to you.
Yeah.
You familiarize yourself with the house as much as you can.
Correct.
In the neighborhood as much as you can.
Yep.
And then what?
Then we go, then what I do, and I think a lot of appraisers are doing, I have an iPad, so I go out and do everything digital, Bluetooth with measuring and so forth, photos. I will pull all my comps. And in this case, if it's a sale, you almost always have a good idea of what the subject property looks like, mm-hmm. you know, what it has, what it includes. So I can now go and take comparables or look for comparables that mm-hmm. are similar, most similar to that house prior to
going out. So to teach everybody, a comparable, what they look at is the comparables are other homes that have sold usually in the neighborhood yep. that are like it. So if you're selling a 5-bedroom, 3-bath house, you would look for a comparable within the neighborhood usually, right? You guys
yes.
want to stay in the neighborhood?
If it's possible. Mm-hmm. And usually the lenders want at least one closed sale out of that community. But we pull comps based on square footage first. That's obviously the biggest one everybody's kind of doing their adjustments with.
Right. So if you're selling a 3,500 square foot house, you're going to compare it to something else around there. You're not going to compare it to a 5,000 square foot house or compare it to a 2,000 square foot house.
Yeah, and that's a great point. Usually within 10% below or above that square footage is what the lenders like to see.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. And if you go outside that, you just have to note it on the appraisal, here's why. We had a lack of comps, whatever the case may be, and address that. So anything, and there's many, many factors throughout that entire report, like bedroom, you mentioned bedroom and bath count. Mm-hmm. We have to have comparables that at least one that brackets below, either equal to or below bathroom count, and then above.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And then square footage, same thing. We have to have one that's the same or below, and then above. So we're fully bracketing. If you look in an appraisal report, there's multiple sections that we're addressing, you know, which extracts everything out of the, you know, house.
It is multiple sections. So how many comparables is your goal? What do you like to have?
I like to have at least 5. And sometimes more, depending on the property. So if you get down really high end or difficult property, complex property, mm-hmm. 7, 8 in some cases.
When we come back, we're going to take a break. When we're going to come back, we'll go back to, we didn't address what the realtors can show up, what they can help you with. But most importantly, I love talking to this about this, the difference between a new construction neighborhood when it has resales in it and what you must look at and a lot of common errors and mistakes that realtors and buyers and sellers make. So we're going to talk about that when we come back. So you guys, if you have any questions, give us a call at 222-TALK. And make sure you come back and listen to what Wes has to say about new construction. See you guys soon.
Talk Radio, AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. German Chancellor Angela Merkel is cautioning the coronavirus pandemic is far from over as regional outbreaks give rise to fears of a second wave. In Australia, the Deputy Chief Health Officer for Victoria State is reporting 41 new coronavirus cases. That could be the sign of something more to come. Two of the largest U.S. states have reversed course and reinstated some coronavirus restrictions amid a surge in new infections as well. And in Asia, the number of confirmed cases in India now topped 500,000. China and South Korea battled similar outbreaks in their capital cities. Companies like Twitter and Facebook were granted liability protection under Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act, but now they're going to change the rules and start flagging content they find objectionable that could revoke their status and hold them liable for any slander that takes place on those platforms. This is SRN.
A coronavirus update brought to you by Bennett Power Equipment. Open for business as usual on West Beaver Street. Nearly 9,000 new cases of coronavirus statewide just yesterday. Duval County increased by 447 cases. St. John's County added 83. There have now been almost 123,000 cases in Florida since it all began. Almost 4,000 have lost their lives. There have been too many instances of patrons at Florida bars testing positive, so the state has now suspended immediately all on-premise alcohol sales. St. Augustine passed a resolution requiring everyone to wear masks in public buildings where social distancing is not possible. Officers are visiting restaurants and other businesses to make sure all CDC guidelines are being followed, and violations could result in losing their business license. Bottom line is, we must do something to slow this outbreak. And the best way to do that is to wear masks, wash hands, and keep your social distance. Thank you for what you're doing to help stem the spread of this virus. Keep listening for more updates.
The Blackhawk by Dixie Chopper is the choice for landscaping professionals and large residential properties. This legendary zero-turn mower mows over 4 acres per hour with Kawasaki engines with 48, 54, and 60-inch cutting decks. All of our Dixie Choppers feature tough 7-gauge decks and heavy-duty chassis backed by our 3-year bumper-to-bumper warranty. Stop by Bennett's Power Equipment on West Beaver Street in Jacksonville to get in on our 0% for 48 months financing for all models in our large inventory today. Dixie Chopper, the world's fastest lawnmower, made in the USA.
I'm Clayton Bromberg, the president of Underwoods. One of the things we're frequently asked for advice on is how much to spend on an engagement ring. The guideline most often used is the equivalent of 2 months' salary. But I'll say this, the price you pay for a diamond is directly related to its beauty. If somebody wants a big, cheap diamond, I'll guarantee you it's poor diamond quality-wise, and that's not what we carry at Underwoods. But if you want a diamond with fine color, clarity, and cut to the right specifications for maximum beauty, these are the kind of diamonds we carefully select at Underwoods. You see, when somebody's been married for a long time, they don't always remember what they paid for the engagement ring. They do remember the sacrifice they made to pay for it. And when you consider that a diamond engagement ring will be worn and looked at by her every day for the rest of her life, most people agree that a really fine quality diamond ought to be considered. That's what we specialize in at Underwoods and have for over 90 years.
How will the weather affect you? WBOB Weather.
30% chance of showers through tonight. Partly sunny and hot this afternoon. High 97. Heat index of 105. Cloudy tonight. Down to 75. Partly sunny Sunday with a high 98 with a heat index of 105. And then partly cloudy Sunday night down to 75. And then up to about a 60% chance of showers Monday through about next weekend. Daytime highs 95. Overnight low 75.
This segment of Real Estate Radio with Angela and Howard is brought to you by Watson Title Services of Northeast Florida. For answers to your North Florida real estate questions, call into the show at 222-TALK. That's 222-8255.
Good morning and happy Saturday, everybody. Thank you for listening to Real Estate Radio. Normally it'd be Angela and Howard here, but today it's Christine Kennedy of Success Mortgage and my favorite local appraiser, Wes Parker.
Good morning.
Woo-hoo-hoo! Happy Saturday. During the break, I realized, of course, my brain's all over the place and I'm scattered, and it makes me really good at mortgages because I can multitask and see problems and solutions. But sometimes I get off topic, which is probably not wonderful for radio, but it's who I am. So I realized that we use the word AMC, but I didn't necessarily tell everybody what an AMC is. So an AMC is what mortgage companies have to use to keep the mortgage company from directly contacting the appraiser. So what we do is we order our appraisal through an AMC, which is an appraisal management company. That's the language for it. And everybody's required. In my local case, because I'm here right here in Jacksonville, I only have four appraisers that my appraisal could be ordered through. So I have a very good idea. All of the appraisers are local. But what can happen and what does happen and what's real, and I just want to talk like 2 minutes and just confirm with everybody how it happens. When you go through a national, big, huge bank, they order the appraisal through the AMC, the appraisal management company. And that appraisal management company keeps a lot of the money. So for example, my appraisals cost $450. That's what I charge my buyer. And that's the $450 goes directly to my appraisers. Like the invoice is $450, the buyer pays $450, they get $450, you guys get $450, it's $450 all the way across. I receive the money, I pay it out, and that's what it is. The benefit of having the four appraisers is that you guys stay constantly busy. You stay busy. You can keep your turn times down. It's the balance, right? You're staying busy enough to get us what we need and give the buyers and the sellers what they need. You keep your turn times low. But for a big, huge, what happens for the big banks, whichever big bank you want to look at, they order through the AMC and just say the property is in Jacksonville. We'll just pick Palencia, right? Crazy, great, amazing neighborhood with all ranges in it. Literally, how does the appraiser end up being chosen from a Daytona or a Palm Coast? How does that happen through the AMC?
Well, and that shouldn't happen, obviously, because it's outside of that appraiser's expertise. Mm-hmm. You know, that's not his backyard. So,
but it does.
It happens.
It happens all the time.
And the reason it happens, for the most part, is that these AMCs, they have a big pool of appraisers.
Right. Might have hundreds and hundreds of appraisers.
Right.
In their portfolio.
And I don't know how all of them do their qualifications for signups, but I know some of them you can just basically get on the list.
I'm an appraiser. Applying. I'm out on my two-year. Yeah. I'm done.
Exactly.
Add me.
Right. And they're willing to take, you know, depending on level of experience, sometimes they're willing to accept much lower fees and travel the distance, you know, to do that.
So the buyer could pay the $450, but the appraiser only receive
maybe
what?
$250 in those cases. Some of those cases, obviously.
$200, $250.
Yeah.
It's to come all the way up from Palm Coast.
Yeah, half the price of what the appraisers should be receiving to get.
We have a caller. Ooh. Oh, hold on. Never mind. Alan's saying never mind. Oh, you're high. Hello. Good morning.
Yeah, morning. Yeah, I wanted to ask you, I've been listening to the radio bunch of different stations around the country. You can do that on the internet, and it seems like these we buy cheap houses, for example, that company seems to be nationwide. You know, they have these kind of cheesy billboards that make it seem like some homemade guy put it up there, but they seem to be a massive corporation. You know, they're doing ad buys everywhere, billboards everywhere. So I'm wondering, is there some, you know, fly-by-night, even a foreign kingdom or something like that that's trying to buy up America?
Have you? Well, I believe I'm not an expert on the company we buy houses. I do have seen the signs. I do know what you're talking about. But I think it's just, that's a franchise that each office is locally owned. Like, I think there's one here in Jacksonville, and that's a franchise. I don't believe that they're a national company. I think they're just a franchise, just that you can buy.
They in their advertising, they say they've got, it's as if they have secret money. And when I've heard advertisements for their seminars, you know, it's like the people that set up the franchise are not necessarily millionaires. They're just entrepreneurs that have got a certain amount of backing themselves, but apparently somebody's able to plunk down, you know, tens of thousands of dollars in an instant. And so it's, you know, where is this money coming from? I just remember, 14 years ago or so, the subprime scandal, where those guys were just plain organized crime. And, you know, and what makes it worse is the Treasury Secretary of America, Steve Mnuchin. He's the guy that ended up with the most amount of deeds. You know, after, 40 million evictions, 40 million foreclosures in 5 years, 40 million American homes were lost to a scam, and the guy that ended up with the most deeds is now the Secretary of Treasury. He's the guy that's supposed to be handing out stimulus checks, and they just never seem to get there.
I'm just
wondering, where's this money coming from? Are they doctoring the books to... You know, are they milking America's treasury?
I am not the person to ask those kind of questions. I don't know the answer, and maybe this is not really the show for that. I'm not familiar. I know the company.
There's several of them out there for sure,
but I'm not really sure. You know, I can't really talk intellectually about their process or how they work or what they're doing or where the money goes. So, thank you for calling, though. Have a great day. He was nice.
Yes. I've lost my train of thought.
Well, I was going to say, now my brain's really all over the place. Let's go back to
AMCs.
When you show up to...
or AMCs. Should we finish that convo real quick?
Let's finish that. Right. Yes, Wes, good job.
So the
Howard would tell me to stop giggling. Sorry, Howard.
So the AMCs, in some of these cases, the national AMCs, they will bring in appraisers from outside the immediate market. 50 miles should be the absolute maximum, and that's only making the assumption the appraiser has expertise in that location that he will be traveling 50 miles. And that's possible because we do move around and have different offices and so forth. But the problem a lot of times when you have these bigger AMCs and they have the big panels and they're given low fees, the most experienced appraisers typically won't accept those assignments. So
you are getting the baby 2 years in the industry, maybe first day working with somebody.
Yeah.
And they're coming from 50 miles to the area that they might or might not know. So that's how it happens. You know, that's how we get, that's how people get outside appraisers that come in. So that's the theory. But when you show up, you gave us an idea of a lot about what you do, but when you show up to the appraisal, to the house, what can my realtors give you? What do you want them to give you? What do you not want them to give you? What would make your job?
Anything they feel that would be important for me to know or see that I may not be able to access on MLS is important. Mm-hmm. A lot of times they'll bring a sales contract. We have to get that from the lender before we can even go out to the property. So that's always taken care of. And the thing I tell a lot of realtors when I do the monthly real estate meet or realtor meetings is that it's best, because when we're at the house and we have a relatively short amount of time to go through what we're doing and do it, collect all the data, measure photos, and just focus on that house, it's usually better not to have the realtors accompanying you if possible.
Okay.
I know in some cases the sellers want to have the realtor there when that's taking place. But if you are there, it's better to just to not walk around with the appraiser as much.
But you don't want a shadow on your little corner?
Because I'm a talker. So if I get out and start doing that, I have a tendency to, you know, be eligible to miss things. So I like to just have that ability to concentrate 100%. And then after I'm done with the inspection, measurements, photos, et cetera, then I will go talk to the realtor and get, you know, any more details, ask them, you know, more specifics about the property, ask them if they have any more specifics.
So they don't need to show up with the contract because you already have that.
Correct.
They don't need obviously the MLS because they have that. But any additional data, they can just leave it at the house for you.
Yeah,
any
updates. And usually I put that on the MLS. If there's, you know, a lot of updates or upgrades, they like to put those on the MLS as under documents or whatever, you know, tab they want to put it under so that it can be viewed by us.
Exactly. And you guys have lockbox keys.
Correct. Yeah. Most appraisers do, which is huge.
That makes it very convenient.
Very convenient for everybody.
Go in and make the appointment.
Correct.
Well, when we come back, we're going to go back to talking about new construction and what you look at as an appraiser versus a resale. So if you guys have any questions, give us a call at 222-TALK and we'll see you back when we come back. Last segment.
One of the most critical parts of buying or selling your home is the very last process. That's the closing process. Angela and I recommend Watson Title Services. They have the experience to handle any issue that can come up, and there is never an upfront fee to the seller. Whether you are using a realtor with the sale of your home or not, always ask for Watson Title Service to handle your closing. We do. Call them at 461-3220. That's Watson Title Services.
Angela and I are reaching out to all of our fellow realtors. Do you recommend mortgage lenders that only have one or two basic vanilla types of mortgage products? So many home buyers need one of the many different flavors of mortgages that Christine Kennedy of Success Mortgage Partners offers. Don't lose a buyer because you can't get them qualified to purchase a home. From self-employed to no tax returns to one day out of bankruptcy to even bank statement only programs, you can even get your buyers up to a $2,000 tax credit every year of the loan. Give Christine a call at 514-6969. That's 514-6969.
Hey, WBOB listeners, it's your realtor on the radio, Howard Vergalis of Watson Realty Corp. Angela and I don't just do the radio show, we are active realtors. When it's time to buy, we will interview you to determine your specific housing needs. Distance to work, style of home, school needs, distance to place of worship, kids' activities, lifestyles, number of bedrooms, budget, and so much more. In short, we do our very best to find you your perfect home. We won't waste your time showing you houses that don't fit your needs. Whether you're moving up, moving into your first home, or now an empty nester, you can trust us for the most important purchase of your life. It's what we do. It's what we'll do for you. Experience the Angela and Howard team advantage. Call us at 421-7950.
This segment sponsored by Christine Kennedy of Success Mortgage Partners.
Welcome back, everybody. Thank you for listening to Real Estate Radio. Angela and Howard are taking a much deserved well day / weekend off. So good for them. I miss them. I love them. I'm Christine Kennedy with Success Mortgage Partners. If you guys have any questions, give us a call. My guest today is Wes Parker, a local appraiser. So thanks again for the last time, last segment.
Thank you for having me.
I do want to just remind everybody that Angela and Howard have the coolest condo at Summer House on the market. I think I need it. It's $135,000.
Is that in Ponte Vedra?
Yeah. Ponte Vedra. It's like 3 blocks from the beach. Just remember you guys can get condo financing 3% down. And then they have another listing. It's a beautiful home. It's it's not coming up. I should have printed it out. So I'll come back to that. So sorry to be all over the place. I want to go back to new construction. What do the sellers need to know? What do you look at? What do the buyers need to know? What do most importantly my realtors need to know as an appraiser? You can pick whatever neighborhood you want. It's new construction everywhere. It's great. The builder usually, has a bunch of incentives. They usually offer to pay closing costs if you go with their local, their lender. So it's really great. People can get brand new construction. But when you're looking at resales, what's important for the buyer, sellers, realtors to know about?
Well, for listing or appraising, I should speak to more so than listing, but just as a pointer and help for the realtors, if you're listing an existing sale, do not use new construction for comparables.
I'm going to say that again.
And that's a big one. That's probably the one. And I don't know why that doesn't, I've taken the real estate course and I looked for it and several other things just to see what was in there and what wasn't. And
so same thing for the sellers. So they have $350,000 house that they built 3 years ago. You can't use what the builder's putting in.
Yeah, if you're in a community or surrounded by communities that have new construction and even the same builders doing the same house.
Right. The builder's building a brand new one right now.
And look what that is. And we'll go in 10,000 under that. or that price or whatever the case is, you have to go to existing sales. And if in a community where you, let's say it's a year old community, they're still building, there's no resales yet, you'd have to go outside and find the most similar community to that community and price range, builders, upgrades, that kind of, you know, requirements, and then select something like that. And then what we do on appraisals is if we're doing new construction, and the reason behind that, by the way, is that new constructions, they have a ton of incentives typically. Mm-hmm. So they can get, you know, closing costs paid, down payments, builder fees, additional things. And they have a warranty with the house. It's an apples to oranges comparison. But when we're doing new construction, it's because a lot of times certain communities will have builders or developers that will come in and occupy that entire development, and they can control pricing and so forth. And that's a concern sometimes with the lenders, because that's in the past has become a problem in some cases. Mm-hmm. So they want us to find an existing sale or a new construction sale outside of that immediate community as well to demonstrate the value is in check with the market, overall market.
So most importantly,
the market area.
Most importantly, they just can't look at what the builder's currently doing.
Correct.
It's not a true indication of the market value.
And then
didn't know that.
Yeah. And then to add to that, because you know what a lot of, which would be not too difficult to do, people make the assumption that, well, if I built this house 2 years ago and let's say I paid $350 for it, now it's selling for $390.
The exact same model.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exact same model. There's been a $40,000 appreciation. Well, that's, again, not the case, because you do have to use existing sales to establish what the market is doing, increasing, decreasing, stabilizing. And that's where realtors can go onto MLS. We have to do every report we do. We have to have what they call a 1004 MC, which is a market conditions report. And that data is pulled out of MLS, which you can go into MLS and look for the 1004 MC report, I guess, right, is the best way to state it.
All the realtors can.
Yes. Anybody's got access to MLS.
And this is what they should do.
Yes, they should,
but
definitely.
But before they put a property on the market, the first thing that they should do is to go into MLS and pull this report that you're talking about.
Because a lot of times the assumption is that everything's increasing if the market's going well, and it's not necessarily the case.
So what could the 10004 MC report, what does it tell you?
It gives you an idea of, it's broken into three segments over the past 12 months, so that you have in the first segment 1 to 6 months, or going back, you know, 12 months total. So you got 6 months from a year ago, mm-hmm, that's in the first table. And then you have the 3 months after that, and then the 3 months leading up to where you are at the current date, so that you can see the increase, decrease,
trends.
Pricing, days on the market, all that kind of thing.
Is it based on just Jacksonville, St. John's, Duval? Is it based on the neighborhood?
It's based on, well, that's what you do, is you go in and just like you would pull up into the MLS to look at comparables in a particular neighborhood, mm-hmm, you can do this. You do the same exact thing you would do going on to a search. And then when you get done with that search, you click on the 1004 MC, which will now take all that data. And you want to make sure your search data goes back perfectly 12 months, or, you know, at least within that range.
So
and then hit
a,
that, and then it'll give you 12 months.
Realtor, they shouldn't necessarily be looking at only the last 30 days, only the last 60 days, only the last 90. What you're looking at as an appraiser is going to be the last 12 months of trends.
For trends, correct. Yeah, so we can get an idea. And then we even a lot of times do year-over-year analysis to see what last year was, you know, that 12 months and then the current 12 months.
And what does the trends tell you? What the market's doing? Is it going up? Is it going down? Is it appreciating, depreciating? That's what it's telling you?
It depends on the market area, for sure. The hot markets, mm-hmm, typically right now are appreciating. If there are some communities that have a lot of new construction, where in new construction you got a little bit of a different thing going on sometimes, because builders will do the incentives. They'll have sales certain times a year, much like even in car sales, you know, where they just need to get rid of some inventory, mm-hmm, or want to promote whatever. and sometimes can bite themselves, you know, because they'll drop prices below what they have been selling for a short time frame to get sales, you know, completed. And then we have to come back and try to negotiate all that and figure out where we really are. So one of the things, I guess, that realtors want to do is really make sure if they're in one of those markets with new construction and existing sales that they're working in that parameter of whatever it is they're trying to list, you know, new construction or the existing sales, and stay within those parameters.
So for all the realtors, if you are not familiar with the report of how to go in there, you know, give me a call.
And by the way, let me add one thing. I just kind of lost my train for a minute. Thought. You'll sometimes see in those communities, by the way, even for short periods, almost a decline because of those type of sales that I was, which is not really necessarily the case, because you'll see right after that stuff that's listed that's higher that's actually getting put under contract. So you do have to be really careful to break down that information and understand why. And what we do when we look at that, we don't just assume, well, this is what's going on, this is why, and understand, not looking at the details as to why it's doing it. So we will a lot of times look at those individual sales and get an idea of what took place and understand if it's truly a flat market, increasing, so forth.
Which is really important to the lender's point of view, because from a lender point of view, the appraisal is the only thing that we have to, you know, give us the pictures, tell us if there's any repairs that are required. What is the market doing?
Right.
It's the only thing we have, because we don't go out to the property. That's what you guys do.
That's right.
And if we listen to, you know, the realtors, and, you know, it's, you know, they always have their own opinion, which obviously you want a realtor to help you list your house, because you want the most professional opinion. Like, the worst thing you can do is sell your house for sale by owner and go to Zillow and try to get your estimate, you know.
Yeah.
What's your 30 seconds? We're almost done, but what's your 30 seconds on Zillow?
You know, I thought Zillow would be more accurate by now when it first came out. I knew it needed time, but just this past week, in many cases, I will pull Zillow to look at different things like comparable
sales. Just to see
sales.
What's out there.
Yeah, see if there's any sales that are not showing up on MLS. And it's amazing to me how far, even on a simple property that's in a community that has very similar type properties, it still can be dramatically off. The older the community, the more inaccurate it does tend to get, because you have a lot of properties that are being upgraded, some that are not, and they can't tell the difference. So it's
so don't go off as
very
a little,
dangerous.
Make sure you guys call Angela and Howard if you want to list your house. Make sure you get a true indicator of, you know, a professional, because they're the best in the city of what they do. So make sure you give them a call so you get a true value. Don't go off as a Zillow. Hire a true professional that does this for a living all day, every day. And you guys have a wonderful weekend. Thanks again, Wes, for coming in. Angela and Howard, I hope you had a great day. Sorry I was all over the place, but hopefully we did help some buyers and some sellers and realtors with Real Estate Radio. So thanks, guys. Thanks for listening, and have a wonderful weekend.